Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it. Play it. Dig it.
The rage. We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Radio.
Windy City Radio.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
This is Richard Knight Jr.
I'm Jim Bennett.
I'm Amy Messini. Windy City Radio is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it. And American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aavacations.com/rainbow.
Of spring was here and then snatched back away from us. You're listening to Windy City Radio. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Well, you know, April showers.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the April showers.
Bring the May flowers.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. I'm excited. Happy Easter to all
Happy
of our Christian
Easter.
Listeners out there.
Absolutely. It was a big day.
It was. It was a big weekend.
It was
weekend. Was the Good Friday and then the Holy Saturday and then the Sunday. You know, he's risen.
He's risen.
No, he's not. He's risen next week. I'm Orthodox. I'm sorry.
There you go.
You are all wrong.
I know. You told me last week that you were not going to be celebrating with me because you were doing it next week.
I am. My family and I, we will be celebrating the Orthodox Easter. So
now, what do you eat for Orthodox Easter? Do you eat certain kinds of foods?
Yeah, actually, red eggs are very pivotal. Red eggs, they
red
represent...
Red eggs.
In our mythos, in our stories, they say that after Christ rose, all the eggs turned red with the blood of Jesus.
Huh. Do you dye them with food color? What do you do?
Yes, there's a very special dye that we use, the Pascha dye. That's what we call the ascension of Christ. So during the Pascha, we dye the eggs red. And, we eat lamb because lamb, the new birth, what's coming up.
Right?
And then just lots of good foods. My mother's American, actually. My father's Greek.
Right.
But my mom is the best Greek cook I know. She outcooks
would
all the
she
Greek
like
ladies
I know. Would
she
like to bake and cook for me sometimes?
Sure.
I love lamb.
Sure. You would not be able to say that thin, though. Mm. You'd be big as a house if you
That's
ate
okay.
at mama's house. That's
okay.
That's okay. Okay, good.
That's okay. Love lamb.
Yeah, I'm addicted to it. No mint. We do it with garlic, and we do it different.
Okay.
We do it different. Tomato sauce, it's good. But
tomato sauce on lamb?
See.
I'm not a very good Greek person.
You'll be big as a house.
This is who I need to go to Greece with, is Peter Maverick.
Absolutely. I'll take you to the islands.
That would be awesome.
It's
then we could go to Lesbos while we're there.
We could. I've been.
Have you?
I have.
You're not even a lesbian. That's
I've
not fair.
I've been from one end of from the top of Greece all the way to the bottom. We actually island hopped all the way down to Crete one day. We went to Thessaloniki, which is in the north part. And then island hopped all the way down. It was amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful, full of history.
Your life is huge.
It's huge.
And I am humbled by the fact that you sit here in this studio. Josh especially is humbled.
Oh,
I mean, you know, really.
See, you get on a stage and do things. I'm jealous of you. I'm scared.
No, you are not scared.
I'm
hey,
scared.
I heard that you met a legend this past week.
I did. I met Liza with a Z.
With a Z.
For just a moment. She was at the border signing her Liza with a Z DVD.
How'd she look?
She looked incredible. Okay, apparently whoever does Liza's hands needs to talk to Madonna, because Madonna has old lady hands, and Liza Minnelli has the most gorgeous hands in the world. In the world! They were beautiful.
Has she ever worked? Madonna's had to work a little bit.
I think so. I don't know.
Liza's really, I mean, it's probably some even opened the pill bottles for.
I don't know. She looked gorgeous. She was so sentient and with the crowd. She had a turtleneck on, though, so we couldn't really see what was going on under there. But she was so alive. We were there for over 2 hours, and she was still signing autographs when we left.
Wow,
perky
good girl.
And happy and just so thrilled to see her. She took time with everybody. Someone walked in front of her. She talked with them. She had a little bit of banter
with them. Did they get pictures?
Them. Yeah, absolutely. You could take as many pictures of her as you wanted. You could totally hang out with her.
Are we going to have a picture of you with her?
No, no,
but
I didn't.
But
I have her on my, I'm holding up my Razr right now, and I have pictures of Eliza Minnelli on my Razr phone
right here. We are going to look at those here later on.
I'm going to post those on... on WindyCityQueerCast.com.
That's the new website.
Yeah.
Are you going to put our tire-changing escapades last week?
I'm going to put our little video.
Josh doesn't even know this. My tire, when we walked out of here, we're downtown, you know, in the Prudential Tower, CKG, mm-hmm. and we walk out really late, you know, it's 11:30, almost midnight, walk out the door, and my tire is so flat. I mean, it had no air in it, and I could hear the last little bit going... I mean, that was like the end. There's no air in it. And I looked at him and I was like, okay, how many homosexuals does it take to change a tire? And luckily, it only took Peter Maverick because I had no clue. I knew where the little cranky thing was.
Right,
the jack.
You found the hole.
I found the hole. So Peter's out there with like the video camera in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And luckily, it wasn't tonight where it's raining and cold. It was really
it was a
beautiful
night.
And he got dirty, so he is one butch man. That's all I got to say.
The first thing that she said was, well, this is why I have AAA. I was like, girl, we're in Chicago. We're not in the country.
Yeah.
I could change a tire. It's okay.
But so if you want to see those escapades, we'll...
I'll put it up tonight, WindyCityQueerCast.com.
That's where we're
getting started with everything. So I'm going to put a little picture of Liza. I have a tiny little soundbite of her that I'm going to put up there.
Fantastic.
Where she talked to us. I said, come back to Chicago more. She said, I love Chicago. Real long on the consonants, which I love about her. So... it was a really good night. It was a very special day for me. I met with the boys from the PNS Explosion, PNSExplosion.com. I'm going to have them on the show on Mother's Day. You're going to be away. You're not going to be with us on Mother's Day. But I'm going to have the PNS boys.
Thank God.
They are such
that
a delight.
That would scare me, right?
No. They're so great. Patrick, Noah, and Scott. And Scott, we're going to talk because he's hot.
Hot?
I have a little crush. That's why I played Mariah. They have a little YouTube clip on their Boomtastic blog, which you can find. Go to PNSExplosion.com and hop over there. And they had like a YouTube clip of Mariah singing that song live.
Yep.
She's flawless on those notes. Flawless.
I don't love watching Mariah live, but I love listening to Mariah. She's awesome in a studio.
Mariah Carey.
She's great in a studio. And hey, speaking of great singers, we had a kick-ass Idol event at Hydrate. It's the first year we've ever, in all of our years, 4 years, we've never been to Hydrate until this year, and it was just an explosion of singers.
Yeah.
We had great, all men. We got to have some women, but luckily the next one's at Stargaze coming up next Sunday. We'll be at Stargaze. So women, come on out, because we need to get some more good women in this competition. But the men, we got the gorgeous and hunky, what his sign was like, you know, 50% Irish, 50% Mexican equals 100% hot. That was Graham, who's gorgeous.
Golden Pipes.
Yes.
Golden Pipes. Such a gorgeous singer.
And Cutie Adam, who was our runner-up last year. You all may know Adam from Crew. He helps with the karaoke there. He's like this retro 80s little, this little cute,
Whatever, he has a boyfriend now. Whatever.
Shoes. Oh, I know, but he's adorable. And then... the dark horse, the tall Richard, who was just did some John Legend.
Keith.
Yeah.
It was Keith.
Did
a good friend of mine. I was like, girl, get the name right. Yeah.
Did the John Legend.
Ordinary people. And wait, what did Fousey say? We're going to take it slow. Oh, Pineapple, we're going to take it slow.
He had such a good... Wow.
I hear every Tuesday he's at Jackhammer, really hanging out and doing the karaoke.
Well, he's beautiful, too. He looks like that guy on the Law and Order. What's his name? The Jesse guy. I forget his name.
Jesse Martin. Who was in Rent.
He was in Rent.
And you know, Keith is a concert violist.
Yeah.
I said
it's too bad
so
he wasn't
amazing.
A lesbian.
360
Thank you for laughing at that
talent.
Joke twice in 1 week, Peter Maverick.
He's such a wonderful singer. It was just so much fun. It was a good crowd. It's a great venue for that.
It was a good time. Really good time. So come out to Stargaze. We'll be there
a week
from tonight. Peter and I will be there. And Mamie and Dusty will be running a good show at Stargaze. We always have a really good time at Stargaze. And then we'll be at Scott's on Wednesday, May 3rd for the Windy City Gay Idol. We're still on the hunt, folks. And there's four more chances to come and sign up to place so that you can be at the semifinals. And what that means is you need to come to one of these bars and you check out our ads in Windy City Times and Night Spots or on our website, WindyCityMediaGroup.com, and get all the information. But the top vote getter at each of the preliminary bars gets $100 cash. But the big winner is winning so much,
$1,000
cash,
huge.
A Bud Light Trek mountain bike, a pair of American Airlines tickets anywhere they want to go. I mean, it's a really big win.
It's a big deal. And you know, bring your friends. That's so important. Do bring your friends because the audience does vote. This is just like the regular Idol.
Exactly right.
The audience votes, so bring your friends. Bring a support system. system, and come prepared, because now it's getting good. This is the sweet spot where the singers really start to get good.
Yep.
So come out, do your thing, hang out with us. It's just, it's such a beautiful, beautiful following that we have
it's
in Chicago.
It's really fun. We love it.
Every year.
And speaking of the Idols, you know, Sweet Simple Bucky, he got kicked off last week. But Mandisa has been the one who I loved, but she's not been very pro-gay, the Mandisa. She, you know, she has been... she's obviously, and she's from Tennessee, and we're going to talk about Tennessee next week. My home state may need me to move home for a little while.
Bring me some barbecue.
And whip them in some shape. No, she basically, Mandisa said when she was voted off the hit Fox show, she said she would not perform at an event held in support of the gay community.
Right.
And she said, but, but she said, you know, she wouldn't be somebody who would try to change people.
Right.
But anyhow, I don't know, Mandisa. Do you know how many gay men she just like? She could have sold. She could have cut an album.
Who does her hair?
Who does her hair?
Who does her makeup?
That's what I want to know.
That's what I want to know. Because, girl.
See?
We
that
know.
Jennifer Hudson, who's starring in Dreamgirls, she's not going to say anything about us gay people. She's going to love us.
Do you know, I didn't even
she's
know
awesome.
That was finally coming to fruition.
I'm
a little bit out of it, and I'm so... I almost did a backflip the other day on the train platform. Someone said Dreamgirls is coming, and I was
flipping out.
I can't wait.
Well, there's lots more to talk about, but let us tell you about the show tonight. Tonight, we have photographer Tom Atwood. His new book is called Kings and Their Castles, Queer Men and Their Homes. It's a fantastic book. It's been sitting in my home now for a couple of weeks, and you know, really he's had such a phenomenal career, and is photographing all these fantastic gay men in their homes, everyone from Carson Kressley to Edward Albee to Joel Schumacher, Todd Oldman, John Waters, so it's really an amazing book. And
John Bartlett, love him.
And his work has been everywhere. I mean, it's been from New York to Los Angeles, San Francisco, so we're going to be talking with him. You can check out his website if you're listening to us online. It's Tom Atwood. Wood.com, so you can see some of the pictures while we're talking. And also, the force is back in action. We mean the Chicago force. It is quite simply full tackle football for chicks. And
it's really hot.
And we're going to have their general manager, who's also a defensive player and also an offensive player. Got to have the offense and the defense.
I know. I love that we
keep
have
balance.
The top and the offense and the defense. Both sides. We're balanced today. We're balanced.
We are. We are. And also, we've got tickets to see Visiting Mr. Green, the new show from Buffalo Theater Ensemble at the MAC.
At the MAC.
At the College of DuPage. And so we've got prizes for you to win.
Yeah, giving back.
And then Peter is going to be playing some fantastic music.
You know, chewing some music with
everybody.
There you
go.
Working it out.
We're going to take a quick break, tell you what else is going on in the theater scene, and then we'll be back with Tom Atwood after this.
Culture flow. Culture flow. Culture flow.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art. Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Hiding.
Kaweer.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
This is Sunday, April 16th, 2006, and you are in the Culture Club.
Buffalo Theater Ensemble presents Jeff Barron's provocative tale, Visiting Mr. Green, now playing through May 6th at the Mackinac Art Center in Glen Ellen. An unlikely friendship develops between an elderly man adjusting to his new life and a gay man searching to belong in a straight world. Mention code 5OFF for a $5 ticket discount. Call 630-942-4000 or visit atthemac.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents The Old Curiosity Shop, a Victorian fairy tale of joy and woe by Charles Dickens, playing at the Looking Glass Theater at the Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to The Old Curiosity Shop, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And as always, for more Culture Club, see the Windy City Times.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of us, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call
972-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
Hello, this is Andy Balcony Ranger, and I listen to Windy City Radio.
To Windy City Radio, the voice of the queer community here in Chicago. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
And we're thrilled to have a great show tonight, and included in that is Tom Atwood, whose new book, relatively new book, Kings and Their Castles, Queer Men and Their Homes, is just an amazing look at a number of famous and personality-driven gay men in their homes, personalities such as Andrew Solomon, Tommy Toon, Junior Vasquez, to name a few. And not only has Tom's work been seen in this book, which won the photography Best Photography Book of 2005 award from Inside Out Books, he's been exhibited at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, the Museum of Photographic Arts in San Diego, the Pacific Design Center in L.A., the George Eastman House, and the International Museum of Photography and film, basically all over the place.
Amazing, as well as an incredibly illustrious educational career at both Harvard University and Cambridge University.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Thus showing that it takes smarts to be an artist.
Amazing pedigree.
And so we're thrilled to have Tom on with us tonight. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you, Amy and Peter.
Nice to meet you as well. Thanks for spending Easter night with us.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the very flattering intro.
You're welcome.
So, Tom, I have a question. Why isn't it called Queens in Their Castles?
You know, I wanted to call it Queens in Their Castles.
Oh, right. Yay.
I think it's derogatory to be female, but it's okay to be male. I mean, I don't believe that, but I had a number of subjects, interestingly enough, older subjects in the book that I ran that title by, Queens in Their Castles, mm-hmm. and a number of them said that they would be uncomfortable to be in a book
really?
With that title. So I guess by making it more masculine, it was acceptable.
So how did you go about, I mean, were there people who got left out of the book that you photographed? How did you go about finding the whole menagerie of men that you wanted to photograph?
That's a good question.
There were a couple, like Andy Tobias or Carson Kressley from Queer Eye, that I unfortunately didn't have room to include in the book. Most of the subjects came from referrals from friends or friends of friends, and it was really tough editing them down. I had to spread out all the photos on my living room floor and compare them over a period of several weeks, and I even had some friends over to help me. So it was tough to whittle it down to 71 photographs.
Now, had you met many of these men before, or how did you go about like setting up what the shot was going to be? Like, what is your process in terms of like meeting them, interviewing them, seeing their homes before?
Sure, good question. I had not met most of them. A couple of them were friends, so a few of them I had met, but I usually did most shoots in under 2 hours, and I would start by just sort of asking people about their home and following them around, and I kind of see photography as a social interpersonal process, kind of like an interaction between the personalities of the subjects and the photographer. So I try to keep it fun, and some people can be nervous also, so through constant dialogue I try to help them relax and not have too much anxiety.
So Tom, why portraiture though? I love people who do portraits, because it's so intimate, and it's almost a little voyeuristic in a way.
It is.
And now you're inside of people's houses, but what drew you to portraiture itself?
You know, it's hard to describe. I have a background in theater and architecture and psychology. Those were kind of some of my interests when I was younger, and photography was sort of a confluence of all of those. I love architecture and spaces, and then I love people. So by photographing both, I think it was a good fit for me. And I think that the subject matter is really interesting. I think gay men have a real flair for design and live in some of the most interesting spaces in the country. So from that point of view, I thought it was a subject that kind of sang to me. And I really hadn't seen many serious photo documentaries of the gay male community. You know, most of the books that you see in stores have nudes romping through the forest or on the beach, that sort of thing. So I thought this would be a different perspective that would be welcome and potentially be a source of pride for the community.
Now, what did you say that made Ross Blechner laugh so hard? I love this picture.
Is he laughing? I think he's yawning.
Or maybe he's yawning. See, it's all a perception.
Yeah, I probably was changing the batteries in my flash or something, and he was just, maybe he had too much to drink the night before. I'm not sure.
And whose home did you walk into, and really when you walked in, you just went, oh, my God, either good or bad or just not what you expected?
There were quite a few. You know, Carson Kressley's home was really different. It was on the small side and very tastefully decorated, but his bedroom, for example, was just full of stuff. I think there were a lot of clothes on the floor and in bags that designers had sent him hoping that they would get on the show, and his closet was just overflowing with stuff. So that was a surprise. I kind of expected it to be perfect, but it was very lived in. And then I guess there were some other people that were sort of surprised. John Bartlett's designs are really edgy, and they're sort of S&M-esque and militaristic, but his home was beautiful, but very formal and tastefully decorated, so that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I loved, I mean, me being a DJ, Junior's picture is just awesome, and I want a huge copy, please, so I can just put it up, so I can just put it up on my wall and aspire toward
Well, you just
him.
Got a new apartment, Peter. Maybe maybe if, you know, if Tom's coming
wall.
Through town, you can just shoot Peter Maverick.
It'll be me
I would
and
love
cardboard.
To. You know, I'm always looking for interesting subjects to shoot, and this series is really a work in progress, and I'm working on a second book now.
Well, see, Peter. And Peter has naked cats.
I do.
Oh, he does.
I have
very
two strings.
you just
touched on it, that you're working on a second book. Is a book, as a photographer, is a book a milestone you've always wanted to do, or did it just suddenly come together?
I had been in shows beforehand, and I think I liked the idea of doing a book because it seemed more democratic to me, and it seemed like something that was accessible by more people, because a $35 book can be enjoyed by tens of thousands of people, whereas an art show, as great as it is, usually reaches a much more limited audience. And I had done shows beforehand, but I think a book is also more permanent, and that sort of appealed to me as well. You know, it's a documentary project, and I kind of wanted something about it to be more permanent, so it was a good fit. And I do have shows periodically, but I'm working on another book. I'd really like to do several books on this theme and really get to know the gay community well and really pursue it in depth.
Maybe you could do like Lesbians in Their Yard.
That's great.
Because I have a fantastic yard, which I was cleaning at this morning. And see, then when you come, you can shoot Peter in his home, and maybe you can just see if this other niche
That's
might
great.
Really just start motivating you.
How about Lesbians in Their Cars?
Or Lesbians in Their Cars. Well.
That's great. No,
and their dogs.
I actually wanted to include lesbians in this first book, and I started out talking to a couple of them, but I found that I just didn't know as many, or I wasn't getting as many referrals to them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If people know lesbians that they think are interesting or have interesting spaces, they can reach me through my website, tomatwood.com, and I'm always looking for referrals.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you've
you,
got
I
to
think,
see Amy's bathroom.
I think
it's amazing.
Yeah, I've got a nice bathroom. I just want to be in my
amazing.
Japanese soaking tub, and you can come in there.
Nice.
Huge. Huge.
But I still like Lesbians in Their Yard. Kings in Their Castles, Lesbians in Their Yard.
That's great. I'll have to remember.
Now, the only person that I have ever met that's in your book is Joel Schumacher, and I love this picture of he and Jess Cagle and Stephen Friedman. That so captures him. He is like the sweetest, warmest, in his little denim shirt. That's
no.
a lovely picture.
Is, yeah. Adorable. Marry me now.
Yeah.
They were reading the New York Times, and they were laughing at an article. And so I just caught them in a moment of laughter. I think the article was about this is terrible, he probably doesn't want me to say this, but it was about a woman who fell on she dropped her cell phone on the subway, and she went down to get it and then was run over by a train. As terrible as that is, and it's really not something that people should laugh about, but I think we were all just thinking about how unfortunate and silly that was.
Yeah, well, sometimes people laugh at the most tragic things, you know, because what else are you going to do? It's like it sounds so preposterous that would
be.
It's
therapy.
Yeah. We all watched 6 Feet Under. We thought death was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do but laugh?
Yeah.
So the strangest place that you were at, the most, the one that sticks with you would be where?
You know, there was somebody in my book called Mother Flawless.
I am
Regina.
Looking at it right now, and I was just going to say that. I'm sitting here, and I was going to answer it for you. I was going to go, nothing is stranger than Mother Flawless.
You want to answer it for me?
So, yeah, with duct tape on her head.
Yeah. I mean, this was someone who was a female impersonator from probably the 60s and 70s, an older gentleman. And he just had such an interesting space. He lived in a small studio apartment on the Upper East Side, and he had some formal paintings like a Picasso and so forth, and he had all these paintings of himself. You can see that picture of himself on
the
back wall.
Yeah.
It's like Iggy Pop shaved his head and it's going to be a drag queen. It's wild.
Yeah, but he's giving himself a facelift with duct tape.
Lifting his skin.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
The thing that they did.
That's
and then he just had this cornucopia of wigs in his bedroom. He must have had 10 or so wigs on different...
I love it. And right behind him is a sign that says jailbait and then a bottle of Ajax.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. And he had the word kids written in his bathtub.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
and the black tile, it's like... Or navy blue. You can't really kind of quite tell if it's black.
Interesting. His head is blocking the K in the word kids.
Yep,
and
when
I first got this back, I thought it said AIDS for the longest time. And then I noticed the other word kids over to the right, and it's kids.
Interesting.
AIDS,
how funny is that? Now, how do people get the book? I mean, congratulations on the award.
Yes. How
do people get the book and find out about you and submit fabulous gay men or women that they know since you're working on book number two?
Well, my site is tomatwood.com. It's TOMATWOOD.com. And they can buy the book there. They can preview it there. They can learn more about me. They can see some other photographs. And they can certainly email me if they'd like to provide a suggestion of somebody to photograph. That would be great.
And he's very handsome,
yes,
Tom Atwood.
Yes,
thank you.
Very, very handsome. And, you know, it's a great gift book. It's a great book for any gay man or woman, I think, to have in their home, or artist, honestly,
or
photographer.
I was going to say artist or photographer.
It's a beautiful book, and it's a good size. It's not like one of those that is ginormous.
Right. And who doesn't like to look in people's
houses? It's square.
Houses?
It's square book. Yeah, I wanted to have a square book.
Yeah.
It's not a giant tome that needs its own stand or something crazy like that.
Exactly, exactly.
But who doesn't like looking in people's houses? That's like a big thing of mine. I am.
It's always amazing how people live, isn't it? You always think people live differently than probably how they live on the inside, behind the doors, behind closed doors. Well, Tom Atwood is the photographer. The book is Kings in Their Castles, Queer Men in Their Homes. And go to the website, tomatwood.com. That's TOMATWOOD.com. You can preview the book. You can order the book. And you can also email Tom. See his handsome picture.
Thank you, Tom, thanks so much
for being on with us. And when you come through town, please come into the studio. And we know a lot of people's homes we can take you into.
Girl. That would be great.
We get the green light into any of these places.
Great.
I've been to most of them.
And I'll take you to some yards. We'll see if we can foster this concept. I'm into it.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Once again, the website is tomatwood.com. Check it out. You will be it's a very engaging book. And we're going to be back with Lennox the intern and his tip of the week after this.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk, or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly, you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob, all in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest with a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker, because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Diplomat Pharmacy introduces the HIV/AIDS Care Pack. It puts the right dose at your fingertips. Each pill cup contains all the pills you need at no extra charge. Call Diplomat toll-free at 866-500-6500. That's 866-500-6500. Or check out diplomatpharmacy.com for more information.
My name is Rhoda Morgenstern.
Hello, this is Valerie Harper, and you're most fortunate to be listening to the wonderful Windy City Radio.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of us, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring.
312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
City Radio. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick, and we're here with a gorgeous Lennox the Intern.
Happy Easter.
Lennox McGee.
Hello, hello.
How are you, Michigan State University?
I'm
your
good.
MSU shirt, sweatshirt.
Go State. Go Green.
Go Green.
Did you have a good Easter? Did you go to church?
Actually, no, I didn't. I kind of hung around the house and watched Hustle and Flow today. Hustle and Flow, which is amazing.
Isn't it amazing? Have you seen it yet, Josh? Josh has seen it. No?
Yeah, it's kind of what I it's like a picture of my own life.
Oh,
that's me right
your
there.
Life is a black man.
You're a black man.
So your my life role. Is a southern black
that's,
man.
That's right.
Southern
that's
black
right.
man pimp.
That's,
I love
that's,
it.
That's me.
There you go.
All right, Mike. Was it?
All right, me.
Me.
Me is a dog. So how are you, Lennox? What's our tip for the week?
Well, this week there's a photo exhibit that's going to be exhibiting images of the African-American community, the gay and bisexual and transgender.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be at our friend's restaurant, Cafe 917, which
oh,
was
yeah.
on the show. So it's going to have an exhibition there on Saturday, April 22nd from 7 to 10. And that's at 917 East 79th Street. And these photos are going to be like generating different people in the community, just showcasing different colors, different nationalities. And it's a great exhibit. I've seen it before last year, and he's doing it again this year. So it's awesome.
Fantastic. And you can eat good food while
and
you're
you
there.
Eat good food and drink liquor now because they have liquor licenses
oh,
now.
Oh, there you go.
So you can have a fun time.
Somebody was just talking my ear off about that place at work. I just,
oh, Cafe
yeah,
they
yeah.
were just a Metro Mix, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, sweet.
It's supposed to be really, really. We're going to have to like have a night that we go down there and then do the radio
Absolutely.
Show afterwards.
I got
a bowl of good food.
I got to call Alpina at Czech, please. We're good friends.
Yeah.
We'll get him out there.
There
oh,
you
yeah,
go.
Helping us sing. Love, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fantastic. So Cafe 917, this coming Saturday, April 22nd from 7 and 10, and that's at 917 East 79th Street, and that's the exhibit with African-American gay, lesbian, bi, and trans photography.
It's called We Are Here. That's the...
There you go.
So come to the idol at Stargaze, get your idol on, and then go down to the south side.
No, Stargaze is the next night. So
it's
you can
Sunday.
Do this Saturday.
Oh, it's Sunday.
Sunday.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's Sunday at 6. We'll be at Stargaze. Sunday at 6. And
nice.
We're going to have Lennox in a lesbian bar. It always tickles me to have Lennox in a lesbian bar.
But, it tickles
you know,
me, too.
He's,
where does
the
it
intern has to learn, you know?
Yeah.
How the lesbians work.
But lesbians love you, Lennox.
They I love do. The lesbians.
They yeah. do.
I kind of think I am a lesbian sometimes.
Do you?
Really? Yeah.
Why, would you like to be in Tom Atwood's book, Lesbians in Their Yard?
I
you have a yard? Or just some potted plants out on a stoop somewhere? That would be Lennox. He's not really a lesbian. He doesn't really have a yard. He doesn't have a potted plant with, like, some fern or
no.
something in it.
Lennox and a tulip.
Lennox
a paper white. A paper white.
Awesome.
Gorgeous.
Thanks, Lennox.
Thank you, Lennox.
And Lennox also gave me the tip that, hey, that, you know, last week we had Logo, you know, the whole conversation with the United Church of Christ with their ejector seat ad, that Logo, the gay MTV network channel, refused to play this ad during the High Holy Days and Easter season. So, because I thought it was too controversial, too political. This is coming from, of course, it was their parent company, but they didn't, you know, veto their parent company and run the ad. Well, we talked about it here with the United Church of Christ press guy, Reverend
Bennett.
Bennett? No, that was his middle name.
Oh,
Guess. Ben Guess.
Ben Guess.
Ben Guess. But he, they have now been put on the Hear TV premium cable network, you know, which also is for the GLBT community. And Hear is playing it for free.
For free.
So Hear, Hear, Hear.
Absolutely. I mean, you
thank
know,
you, Josh. He's been he's laughing at my bad jokes.
But it's. I think it's important to support the people who support us. I mean, you know, I heard all these people buzzing about Logo, but if they're not going to say this, but yet they're going to try and, you know, you know, I can get a gay movie from Blockbuster.
Yep.
Honestly, I can get a gay movie anywhere. I don't need to go there to watch it.
Yep.
So.
Raise the bar. Fight the big man, Logo. You can do it.
Yeah.
I know
totally.
You're. I know you've got a big daddy, but you know what?
No hands are tied. No hands are tied. I don't believe that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we've got some two pairs of tickets to give away to going to the Mac at the College of DuPage is where the Buffalo Theater Ensemble is performing Visiting Mr. Green. Now, this is a really great play written by Jeff Barron, and it's the story of a friendship between an older man and a gay man. And we are going to send two lucky listeners with somebody of their choice to see the show between now and May 6th. So if you will give us a call, be caller 5 or caller 10, caller 5 or caller 10, Lennox, at 312-591-WCKG. That's 312-591-WCKG. It's over a $75 prize. 312-591-WCKG. Be caller 5 or 10, and we'll send you to the Mac Theater, the Mac Theater to go see the Buffalo Theater Ensemble's production of Visiting Mr. Green. It's a great play. I love that play.
And spring into spring with a play. I mean, get to the theater. It's so important.
And it's a show you can take anybody to. I mean, you can definitely, if you're a gay man, you can take your mom to the theater.
Right.
Or you can take a date. So we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Michelle and Linda, two players, and one of them is also the general manager of the Chicago Force. And we cannot wait to talk to these these awesome gals.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Be right back after this.
Secure yourself to heaven. Hold on tight. The night has come. Fasten up your earthly burdens. You have just begun.
Hey, this is Amy Ray from the Indigo Girls, and you're listening to Windy City Radio.
This is Windy City Radio. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
And we are joined right now by Linda Bechet, the general manager and defensive player of Chicago Force, as well as Michelle Mader, an offensive player. Linda and Michelle, how are you this evening?
Great.
Hey, ladies.
Hi there.
Happy
Hi.
Easter to you.
Thank you.
So, Linda, tell everybody, what is the Chicago Force?
The Chicago Force is a women's full-contact tackle football team, and we're entering our fourth season.
Now, Michelle, offensive,
mm-hmm.
you get to run a lot. I mean, full tackle, like, how do you prep yourself for that? You're talking the pads, the whole gear, right?
Yeah.
You're talking the whole gear. It's kind of funny that you mentioned running. I'm an offensive lineman, so I don't do a lot of running.
Oh, okay.
I just feel
if there's a really bad play, hopefully you do.
Yeah, really bad play.
but seriously, we're talking just so people get the image of this. You're in full pads, full slamming kind of workout.
It's the same thing you see on NFL Sundays.
Wow.
We're wearing helmets, full gear. The only thing that's different, really, is that the ball is just a little bit smaller so that we can throw it a little better.
Now, Linda, you said that this is the fourth year for the Chicago
Fourth season.
How did the Force come about, and how has it grown?
Well, 2003 was our first year, and a woman moved here from the East Coast, Lisa Cole, and there were leagues and teams out east, but there was nothing here in Chicago, which surprised her. So she promptly organized a team. And we all got together from various sports. They recruited from rugby, flag football, basketball, softball, every league they could find, just looking for athletes.
Hmm. And is this something that is trending to where it's growing and growing and growing? I mean, what's the future of this full tackle football for women?
Well, the league's been around since 2000, the Independent Women's Football League, IWFL. Hmm. There's 32 teams from coast to coast. And the Chicago Force has been around for, well, the past 3 years. We've made the playoff each season. So.
Yeah.
Yay.
We've had you all on before.
Yeah.
We're trying to educate the people again that maybe didn't hear. So now tell us, like, who are some of these women and who are some of the players in terms of, like, you know, what are their real day lives about when they're not training and competing?
Well, for the most part, they all have jobs. They all have other stuff going on. We have a doctor on the team. We have architects.
A doctor is probably good.
Yes. You know, we've needed her a few times already.
She's throwing that helmet off.
Right.
Stat.
Yeah. School teachers, everything you can imagine. It's a very diverse team. And the age range is probably from 20 to 46.
Wow, really?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Probably 15 to 20 of these women have played college sports, scholarship athletes. So it's, you know, there's extensive athletic background with most of these women.
You know, it's I want to let people know they can check you guys out at ChicagoForceFootball.com. And there's an awesome page that is entitled I Play Because. And Linda, I believe this is your quote. It says, I play because I love the game and all that it entails. The adrenaline rush is similar to skydiving, but you get to hit people on the way down. And that resonated.
And that tells us a lot about you.
Right.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
That resonated with me so strong. But how do you wake up in the morning and say, okay, it's time for me to go play full contact football?
You know what? After a day on Chicago's freeways, I can't wait to put the helmet on.
I may need to come join this team, but I'd be scared of my rage.
Yeah, we've all decided that it's just much cheaper than therapy.
Wow.
Oh, absolutely.
So now a season, how many games will you play?
We have 8 regular season games. And then hopefully we'll qualify for the playoffs again.
Wow!
And with the gay games, are any of you involved in any of that? Is there a football event?
You know, yes, we have a diverse team, and a number of the women are gay. We have it already one flag football team enrolled, and I believe there will be another one.
A flag? Oh, boring.
I know.
We've got to change that. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, do you have gay guys cheerleading from the sidelines? That's what I want to know.
Queens and skirts.
I think that would be a
great
fabulous.
Idea. Peter, you available?
Peter would be great.
No.
He would be great. Oh. Yeah, he dresses up like a really cute girl, though, too. We could put him in his little skirt and your little pigtails.
You know what,
yeah.
though? I have to be honest. I know so little about football, I'd be cheering for the wrong team, honey.
That's okay, as long as you've got your pom-pom.
But you're
okay.
Cheering for women playing football.
Well,
who
yes,
cares
absolutely.
Who you're cheering for?
Absolutely.
That's just awesome.
That. I was telling all my friends that you guys were going to be on the show today, and they're like, oh, my God, are they going to be in the studio? We're padding. Stay to the side. They're going to crush you.
nervous.
So now, when's your next game? And I hear you have a new location where you're playing,
yeah.
right?
We do. Our opening game is April 29th, Saturday, at 3 o'clock at Lane Stadium. at Lane Tech High School.
Yeah.
Yeah, good we made
stadium.
It to the north side.
Good
That's
stadium.
Where they filmed Wildcats, isn't it?
Exactly.
With Goldie Hawn.
Yeah,
anybody ever
yeah.
see that old movie? I love that movie.
And football.
Football. That was our straight board hop.
And Pete's Pizza is right across the way. So
oh,
you
the
get pizza.
Pizza's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, this sounds like it's something we're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's 3 p.m. 3 p.m. kickoff at April 29th at Lane Tech. And now, is that you're going to be your home field?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. That's not far from the hood.
No,
really.
Not at all.
It's kind of in between the two hoods,
hop,
you know?
Skip and a jump over there. And
yeah.
I love that Spin, my home bar where I work. They're
yes.
a supporter of you guys.
Oh, yes.
And I love that.
It's been our primary sponsor for years.
Now, who are you? Do you play? You play teams mostly just from the Midwest?
Yes, we're in the Midwest Conference.
Okay.
And we play Detroit, Des Moines, and Kansas City in our regular season. And then we'll likely have to play someone from the West Coast if we make it to the playoffs.
Now, who are you playing on the 29th?
That's going to be the Iowa Crush.
Iowa Crush. I love these names. You know, like, the footballs are like the Oiler. Where are they? Like,
right.
the, you know, I'm such
Steelers.
A bad... Steelers is a little more violent.
Or the Cubs.
No, the Cubs are not football.
The Blackhawks.
The Bears. I mean, they're all like animals and stuff. And your alls are like Storm and Crush and Force and Predators. And
yeah.
I love that. The
yeah,
rage
I don't care what Michelle said at the beginning of the program here. She loves to run. And if you come out to a game, she will run for you.
So,
yeah, sure, Linda.
So, Michelle, you are now on a tackle football league. Hey, Mom, guess what I'm doing this weekend? What are you telling your family? How are you telling your friends? How are they coming out? Are they hanging out with you?
You know what? They're incredibly supportive. Everyone is. It's pretty amazing. I think, in general, people are just, first of all, they're just stoked that women are playing football.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to see it's just something. I'm a bit older, so most of my friends have, you know, never dreamed that this would be a possibility.
Hmm.
And then to see a bunch of women out there playing football, it's just an incredible thing to see.
Now, what did you play before, and why were you given that position, do you think? I mean, was it based on what sports you did prior?
No, it's primarily based on size and strength. And linemen are traditionally bigger, and, you know, your backs are faster. The joke of the team is that, you know, when the day that I have to play wide receiver is the day that we have to throw up the white flag and surrender. blinding speed. But, no, you know, the beautiful thing about football is it takes all types of women and all types of bodies and
yeah.
sizes. And you know, and it's just everyone has a place on the football field, and that's what makes it a great team.
Were you playing like flag before?
I was playing flag before. That's how I got recruited. Lisa Cole came out to the league. I played out in Palatine at the time, and she came out to Palatine and said, "Hey, I'm starting this football team. Do you want to come and do this?" And at first we're like, "You got to be kidding me! Come on!" And then looked into it and just thought, you know, hey, why not? This sounds amazing, and got there and just, you know. 4 years later, here I am.
Mm-hmm. And the addiction began.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
it's such an amazing thing. I mean, can you envision a time when, you know, we still have so much trouble even getting, like, you know, women's mm-hmm. basketball teams mm-hmm. and things like that, you know? Can you imagine a time, I mean, that would be the goal to, you know, have all the players be, you know, salaried and in this? Or is, you know, what has to happen to make that, you know, occur?
Well, I can imagine a time. I don't see it in the very near future. It is so hard. I mean, you know, we have, for the first time, we have a WNBA team in Chicago that's starting up this year. And,
right.
You know, and even that, you know, they've tried so many times in Chicago to get mm-hmm. a women's professional team, and we're a huge sports town. And if we can't make it work, you know, what
right.
do you do?
Right.
I think right now you get women who do it for the love, truly the love of the game, and eventually that passion just starts to rub off on other people. And you can, I can envision a time, you know, we have the professional women's softball team.
Yeah.
And they're getting paid for it. But, you know, it's taken so many years, and the soccer league tried, and it's going to take a while. It's, you know, unfortunately, women's sports just don't have that support, and that's why I think that's one of the reasons all my friends and my family are so supportive. They're like, hey, we have to make this work.
And now,
so
you
important.
Have gotten a lot of coverage. There was, there was a lot of filming around you and a documentary.
Yeah.
Can people still see that?
Yeah, we still have on the website, there's a link to it. You can still pick up the documentary.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Chicago Filmmaker shows it.
Mm-hmm.
They've had it there a couple times.
A Day on the Force.
A Day on the Force.
Yeah.
It's an amazing documentary that was done. But our entire first season, we had filmmakers Lori and Lori Little and Renette Beazle. I think Beazle's her last name.
Yeah.
But anyway, they followed us around for that entire year, through crummy weather, through great weather, and all over the country, and just that, and filmed it. And it's an amazing journey, and you can just, you know, see what we went through that first year from, you know, starting something that no one knew what to do.
Right,
to,
right.
To the very end, to being in the playoffs. So that was pretty incredible.
It's truly, you know, it's even hard today to find people who are really pioneering something,
right.
and you all truly are pioneers.
Yeah,
I mean, athletic pioneers and feminist pioneers.
Sure.
I mean, for the women's community, I mean, it's pretty huge what you all are doing. Do you feel that when you're out there, or are you just enjoying yourself and
No, we do
playing
feel
ball?
That. And you just used the word I was thinking of, actually, because do we envision a time when, you know, women's football will be well-funded and receive the sort, kind of support it would need? That's a long-term goal.
Right.
And, you know, and I kind of look at this like, well, this is kind of our league of their own.
Yeah.
And that is what we're doing. And it's important that the young girls see this, you know, that they know that there's a possibility that they can have these kind of things.
Well, and the young boys, I mean, that people in general see this and they grow up with it and they see that, wow, it isn't just... it's not a boy thing. It's not a girl thing. It's a people
right.
thing. And
right,
I think
exactly.
That's,
yeah,
that's
and it's
so
possible
important.
For anyone that can do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think my favorite quote on that that I play because is, I play because I can.
Yeah.
And I think that really it strikes a chord inside me, like, wow, I wish I could have gone to girls' football games growing up. I probably would have understood the sport.
You know, and I have to say, like, my very early crush of Helen Hunt was the whole quarterback princess thing. like, and I'm about as femmy as you get, but I just loved, like, the quarterback princess. I thought that was, like, the best. And, you know, the young women should see this.
Yeah.
I mean, because even, I don't, you know, who knows if I knew I was gay at that point or didn't or
well,
whatever.
Well, gay or straight,
didn't
mean,
matter,
yeah.
But it was so empowering, I remember,
yeah.
as a kid to see that movie made. And, you know, and hopefully some young girls are going to see A Day on the Force and or come to one of your games.
Yeah.
And you're changed by that. You're changed by the possibilities.
You're
yeah.
absolutely
you know?
Right. And actually, we're bringing in over 100 girls from Chicago that are involved in Girls in the Game Foundation.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
yeah.
They're going to be at the opening game.
Awesome.
Yeah. And we
I played
also
their
have...
golf tournament. Like, I try to play it every year. It's a great organization that, you know, promotes sports and for young women.
Golf?
Yes, I'm
How
in
do you
that
play
every
golf?
Year, too. How do I not see?
I don't
yeah.
know. I'm really bad.
Well, I'm over in the woods, too. That's why I'm
Well, maybe you did see me. I may have been that girl in the woods.
Ooh, what woods is
you
this?
You weren't alone.
No, I didn't get to play last year, but that's a great organization. I'm thrilled that you guys are there. You're going to bring a lot of the young women out to see one of your games.
Yeah, we're very happy to have them involved, and we may bring them back for a second game as well.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, and long-term, you know, the sort of things that we need are exposure, so we're thrilled to be on your show tonight. We have the alderman for the 47th Ward, where Lane Tech is located. Gene Schulter is coming out to do the coin toss.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Right, so hopefully that'll open some more doors, too.
Well, Gene's a good guy. And everybody, go out. It's the ChicagoForceFootball.com is the website. You can find out about the film, A Day on the Force. You can also see their entire schedule. And the first game of the season is April 29th at 3 p.m. at Lane Tech.
Yeah,
we'll pray for some good
yeah.
weather.
And that's right at Addison and Western. Those are very
yeah.
easy streets to know, Addison and Western, everybody. You know it.
Everybody knows where that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully they're selling hot dogs because Peter and I tried to get
yeah,
in a stand.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we got dogs.
And then
you got dogs. That's good.
But as long as we can go for pizza afterwards. I need
pizza
the pizza
afterwards.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can take Peter down into the locker room and
oh
he can
God.
Do some podcasting
be,
for you
I'll,
from
I'll,
there.
I'll dress in drag and I can be like the twittering little drag queen in the corner, like scared by all like the jocks running around.
There
that'll
you
be,
go.
That'll be perfect.
A lot of fun, actually.
Or maybe one of the television newscasters, you know her down there normally, but it's a guy this time.
Right.
The
it's
women
the
are walking
opposite.
Around.
It's yeah.
the exact opposite. We could just do that as our podcast. That
would be awesome.
Fabulous. Oh, well, gals, Linda Bechet and Michelle Mader, thank you so much for being on with
thank
us.
You.
And please tell everybody, I don't know what you say in the theater world or performing world. You say break a leg, but I don't want to say that
I
in the football
you say
world.
That in football.
But I guess you go out there and kick ass is what I hope you do on April 29th and take it from Iowa. And we'll be following you throughout your season.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
thank
lady.
You. Happy Easter.
Once again, the website is ChicagoForceFootball.com. That sounds like a really fun day.
Yeah.
And I love that it's right around the corner.
It's right around the corner.
I mean, everybody
it's so
can drag,
easy to get to.
Drag and down Ashland or Western and get right there.
And even if you can't drive,
Addison.
The Addison bus is so frequent. So right at Addison and Western, it's so easy to get to. It's very centrally located.
Fantastic. And hey, folks, we need to let you know that we have got a great show next week. We're going to be talking with Kathy Renna. She's going to be talking about some adoption rights bills that are coming up that are very bad for our community in Tennessee. So I may need to go down there and try to adopt me a chillin.
Right.
Get me some chillin.
Cheering.
And also, we're hoping in upcoming weeks we're going to have some of the cast of the Spelling Bee, the Putnam County Spelling Bee, which I saw tonight with my girlfriend. It was so good. We laughed so hard. If you get a chance, go out and see that at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Really fantastic. I want to thank the women from the Chicago Force. First game, April 29th, 3 p.m. Go to ChicagoForceFootball.com and also Tom Atwood for his book, Kings and Their Castles. His website is TomAtwood.com. And we want to thank the lovely Lennox McGee
yes.
for his tip of the week
thank you,
with
Lennox.
Us. And, hey, don't forget, next Sunday, meet us at Stargaze, Sunday, mm-hmm. April 23rd at 6 o'clock. So you go out, do some afternoon sports, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Come in. 6 o'clock is us, so we can finish the competition before we have to be on the radio.
Yeah.
So that's always the way it goes down. And if you're around next Saturday, you can check out at Cafe 917 their photo exhibit, We Are Here, images of GLBT African-American men and women from 7 to 10. That's at 917 East 79th. Street.
Absolutely.
And our thank yous are to...
Yeah, always to Maiderville Studios. We love those gals. To Josh on the board and our producer, Kathleen Ulm. Listen to all of our past shows at WindyCityMediaGroup.com and also WindyCityQueerCast.com.
There you go.
And a special thanks to our advertisers, y'all. Please support them as they do support us. And thank you so much for listening.
And yes, be listening over the next... Be watching on WindyCityQueerCast.com over
yeah.
the upcoming weeks for lots of great new podcasts and Queercast
and
some video feed.
And, oh,
you never know.
You never know what's coming.
This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aavacations.com/rainbow.
That's our show for this week. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please tune in next week at 10 p.m. for Windy City Radio, the voice of the queer community, here on WCKG 105.9 Free FM.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podshow and Limelight Networks.
I love it.